Good morning. We have full room today. That's kind of interesting. So let me just introduce myself and then we can start. So my name is Alessandro. So I do work for Microsoft. I actually started about 2 months ago. I'm a previous and former Microsoft MVP for almost 9 years in cloud and data center. So I do have some expertise around security identity as well. And Linux, I've been playing with Linux for quite a long time in my career, so I'm an expert. I can't say that, but I definitely have some skills in Linux. So the purpose of this session today is to show how quick and easy you can deploy a VM on Microsoft Cloud. And when I say Microsoft Cloud and I put here public and private, it's to make sure that you can deploy on Azure, or you can have your machine running, for example, Windows 8 or Windows 10, and create your virtual machine running Linux on that. So can I ask here who already played with Linux as a virtual machine, both Azure or Hyper-V? Did anyone has the experience? Okay, a few. Do you guys know how to enable Hyper-V on your local machine? Like on a Windows 10, for example. Who is running Windows 10 here, by the way? It's good. Windows 8? So Windows 7? Okay. So my machine is running Windows 10. I'll show here how to how can you actually enable Hyper-V on that machine, and then how can we go download the ISO from a Linux Red Hat, Ubuntu, SUSE, and CentOS, then you can actually create a virtual machine. I also have, we do this from two ways. We can script it to make things quick, and you see that how quick is it. Or you can take about 30 to 45 minutes going through, you know, next. So it's up to you. So let's start talking about a little bit on the slides, then we go. It's good that we have few people. So as I mentioned today, I don't know if you guys came to my session yesterday, but now about it's 25, but in reality, we now have about 29% of the workloads that's running on Azure is actually Linux workloads. It's quite a large amount if you think that. Just started. So we can manage Linux by using System Center and as well as managing Windows. Yesterday I showed how we can use OMS to manage and monitor Linux VMs. So System Center, it's managing Linux and VMs since 2009. We have drivers for Hyper-V since 2010. And Azure IaaS is there since 2013. So it's already a long time doing this. So this is how everything started, right? Microsoft is not new to Linux. We have been doing Linux for quite a long time. If we look here, how are we doing? 2004, 2006, 2009, and where we are today. So if we look here for the Linux on Azure, we see we have Red Hat, Canonical, Debian, FreeBSD, Core, Rancher, Bitnami, Mesosphere, Docker, Jenkins. So this is what we actually have already. This is because there is support from Microsoft on this, on those machines running, right? So, hey, we tested, it's okay for you to run. So now let's think about the Microsoft ecosystem in terms of cloud. What is this private public, right? So we have your customer data center or your own computer. So we call this like the private cloud. You can use Hyper-V or Windows 10 or Windows 8 to create that. Or you have a service provider data center where you just want to build that. Or you host that on Azure. So either way, we can use System Center or we can deploy Linux on this. So, what actually we need in order to run and to get Linux running on Microsoft? So, if we talk about Hyper-V, when you actually download the ISO and after this, you need to make sure that when we install this, we install the integration services. And we need to make sure that as a new integration service gets released, that you update it. What does it mean by integration services? This is your network. This is giving you access to use the mouse, keyboard, and everything from your own machine. So, FreeBSD as well. So we now offer support for FreeBSD. So if you think that majority of security devices, they run on FreeBSD, like some firewalls, they run on FreeBSD, which is a specific Linux version. So we now have FreeBSD running on that as well. So this is showing here what exactly we are gonna do today. So I have Hyper-V running on my machine. We have a virtual machine running Windows. We can have a virtual machine running Linux. We can have a virtual machine running FreeBSD. So I will change to my machine now and I will show. So that's the Hyper-V management console. So is anyone here familiar with this? Who is not familiar? So that's okay. So I'll show quickly here how I did get into this. So if we go to programs and features in Windows 8 or Windows 10, turn on Windows features. It's very simple. You just select this one here, Hyper-V. Can you see this? So as you do this, you got Hyper-V enabled. So the machine will restart. And you're going to have this Hyper-V manager that you can just start. So that will give you this. So of course, we won't have those machines running, but we'll come empty. So now we have a hypervisor running on top of your OS. It could be similar to a server or a desktop. So what we need to do is actually now we need to have the ISO, the Linux ISO that we want to deploy here. As I mentioned before, we can do this in two ways, script or manually. Like I can download the ISO or I can just have a script that say, go to the website, download the ISO, and create everything for me. So I'll show here first. So that's a script. This script was actually initially created by Ben Armstrong, the Hyper-V PM back in 2015. I did some updates on this one, but it's pretty much from him. So what this script does? So this script tells you, first thing, we need to download the Windows 10 deployment toolkit. If you are running Windows 8, you need to download the Windows 8 deployment toolkit. Then you need to download another tool. That's KeyMU. So what happens is, there is a lot of ISOs there, or there's a lot of images out there in different formats, but not on the Microsoft format, which is VHD. What we are going to do is we are going to download that format and we're going to convert that format into virtual hard disk. So the actual installation will be very quick. So for this script here, I'm actually going and downloading an image from Ubuntu. I did create a folder called VMS. on my Drive C. So what's going to do, this script will run, will download that image, and will to the installation. I will run this script now. You understand how quick is it, and actually don't need to do anything. So the script will get the name of the user, set up a password. The first time I log on, the script will say, hey, you need to reset your password. It's the first time you're logging on. It will create a machine. The name of the machine is called Ubuntu VM. Okay? It's also saying that, hey, you connecting this to a switch called internal network. To make sure you guys understand your switch, it's think about a physical switch where you connect your machine to the network. You need to create this on Hyper-V. I'll explain a little bit later how I did this. So in order for me to run this script, I just call so that's the script. I'm just running a PowerShell script that will say run. So that's starting. It will now download the image, the IMG format, and will convert that IMG format in virtual hard disk. So it's now doing the installation, and that's my Linux VM. I'm not doing anything with the VM. You see that it's all scripted and it's really quick. So if you need something quick to deploy a Linux VM, there is no better way than scripting. So until this, it will be running. So let's now use the same way to create a new virtual machine, right? So what I do here, I come here, new virtual machine. Next, you can select the name, new Linux VM. Let's capitalize this, so I can say new Linux VM. You select where you want to store this. I am going to store everything on my folder. I have a folder that I want to get things organized. So you select the version you want from a VM. I'm just going to go next this one. How much memory you want? Let's say 512. Don't have much memory. How you want to connect? I'm going to select my internal network. What's the size of the hard disk for this one? So as a default, it's 127, whatever size you want, 80. And then say, hey, how do you want to install the OS on this machine? So I have the option to say, okay, I just create the VM. I don't want to install anything. I can install later. Or if you have the ISO or a DVD, it's funny because nowadays, majority of the machines doesn't have CD or DVD anymore. So you have to download it. So I did it. So I have an ISO here. So I have a Red Hat, a Ubuntu. So let's go, for example, I want to install a Red Hat. Next. Finish. So my machine is off. So I'm just going to click on the other one. So the other one still scripting, doing this. It's now trying to get out of the network. What's happening is because I do have internal network, which doesn't have a DHCP server, so it won't get any IP. It will take a little bit of time trying to find, hey, where is your network? I don't have a network, so it will just take a little bit. But back into the other machine that I did manually. So now let's start that VM. Double click, and it will open the machine for me. And now it say, hey, what do you want to do? Say, I just want to install Red Hat. Let's go. So now it's manually. It's pretty much how you have done on a physical machine. It's checking the the disk, the media, and we'll start the process to install Red Hat as you would do on a physical machine. No difference at all. You need to go through all the steps, setting up the network, setting up the root password, all the configurations, checking which package you want to install. No difference at all. I'll leave this to run. And to this change, I'll show. So, what this is all about? So, this is all about because what happens today is when we work in our environment, we don't only have a Microsoft workloads. We have a mix of workloads. We have Windows, we have Linux. Before I actually started this, we're just having a conversation in the back, and it was just mentioned to me, hey, I do have some Linux machine. I play with both Linux and Windows. How can I have both running at the same OS? That's how you would get. That's Hyper-V will enable you to do this. You can have Hyper-V client, which run on Windows 8 and 10, or Hyper-V server, which runs on Windows Server 2012, 2012 R2, 2008 R2, 2016. Or we can go say, hey, my hardware only has, let's say, 2 gig of memory, or it's not enough to set up this. What can I do? So you can then, instead of doing this, you can create your machine on Azure. So everything you've done, instead of do on Hyper-V local, we can do on Azure. Before we go there, so that's the VM, that's the Red Hat Linux install. All right, so just go here quick. Australia. So I need to select everything. What's the installation source coming from? How I want to install? Yep, it's going to install on the full 80 giga network. I need to add a network. It says on. I need to set up the network. I need to come here and IPv4 settings, and then let's just add. Instead of GCP, my case will be manual. So let's put an IP. Then at 1.60, 24, DNS 10.1.1.1. Everything I'm doing here, was exactly what the script was doing. Done. And then start the installation. And it'd say, okay, you now need to set up your root password. Let's set up the password. Oops, just 1 second. And then the installation will start. So it will now, Red Hat is actually pretty amazing the way they do the installation because it does speed things. Other, if we go back to our Ubuntu VM, it's now starting all the sets, restarted the VM, and now my Red Hat is complete. So if I log on now, so I say, hey, that's the first time that you log on, you need to provide a password. And that's it. So pretty easy. I've done anything. I went to a script. I just changed the parameters, had everything. But pretty much the script did everything for me. I haven't, had to go to specific settings. So if anyone wants to get the access to the script, just come by, I will give the script. So let's now go back to Azure. So can I ask here who already connected or have access to Azure? So in order for you to get access to Azure, so you can actually get a free 30 days trial to Azure. You just go portal.azure.com and then it would say, hey, log on. If you don't have a log on, create a free subscription. It will allow you to play for 30 days. It will give you some credits because it's all based on amounts, but you will be able to do this. As you see here, I have a machine running FreeBSD. I have a machine running CentOS, and on top of that, I have a Squid proxy, and I have a machine, same thing, running Ubuntu. How I got to this? So actually, in Azure, it's pretty much easy because we do have templates. So as you click here on Add, it will show, okay, what you want to add, what kind of virtual machine you want to add. So you can select from a different templates. So see here we have Windows, Hedgehog, Ubuntu, SQL, containers. So there is a lot. Let's say if I type here Linux. Or if you do have a specific one, like, see, Oracle, Hedgehog. Or let's say FreeBSD. Oh, come on. Sorry, press the wrong key. Press the backspace. Too bad. Okay, so let's go back. Virtual machines. It's not that normal to be that slow, okay? Probably because our network today is. So as you can see here, when I log on, it shows that I have a number of credits, an amount, like $180. I do have an MSGN subscription. If you have an MSGN subscription, you actually have an amount that you can use every month. So you just need to be aware that the size of the machine that you create, or remember to turn off the machine when you're not using it. Because let's say if you have this FreeBSD machine, if I remember, it's running on SSD, 2 cores, 3.5 giga, is $75 per month. But if I only run it when I need it, I can have it for demos for a quite long time, because every month I got renew my credits, right? So it's the same thing. Okay, let's go there, new. That's great. Free BSD. So we have version 11 and version 10. So let's go there. So I want to deploy a virtual machine running FreeBSD. I just need to click here. And the first thing you ask me is, hey, okay, before I actually create this, we need to understand what you want to do. So there are two ways to deploy a VM in Azure. We can go to a ASM model and to ARM model. So two different ways. I recommend you to go through the resource manager. If you're interested in learning more about resource manager on Azure, I reckon you should understand a little bit more. A resource manager will allow you to have a container of all resources in one single place. You can actually manage it better. So let's go create. So then you come say, okay, let's go for the basics first. So what's the name of the VM? Okay, let's create my new, oops, my new VM. What kind of disk you need? SSD. Remember, SSD is premium, so it means the machine will cost you more. Okay, so let's say I just need HDD, username. How do you want to authenticate? Using SSH public key or password? I don't have SSH public key now. I'm gonna use a password. Resource group. I do have a resource group here already, so it means everything that I create is on this particular bubble. If I finish my demos, I just destroy that resource group and everything, all the network, all the machines, and everything that is configured for that particular demo disappeared. I can also control by doing this who has access or not. For example, I can create a resource group for test environment, so I only give access to people who are running tests to that particular resource group. And this one here. Where do you want to have this machine being created? Sydney, which is Australia Southeast. Sorry. Melbourne, which is Australia Southeast, or Australia East, which is Sydney, or Brazil, Canada, United States, Europe, Singapore. So you can select. So let's select Australia East. That's okay. So the only thing I provided here was the username. Now it's going to ask me what's the size. So the size, it's based on templates that Microsoft have. For example, we have a machine here with one core, 3.5 giga, and it will tell you that this machine will cost you $79.60 per month. So do you have? So this is the recommended one. See, as you can see, I have another one here, 67, one core. But if you click here on, no, you know what? Can you please show me all? I want to see all the options available. One thing to remember is that the options that I'm going to show here are actually based on the disk that you selected, okay? SSD on HD. So if we go here, we have a machine, 16 cores, 56 gig of RAM. We have a machine with 16 core, 112 gig of RAM, and so on. So it's your choice. Another thing that you need to keep in mind, not only disk, CPU and memory, is IOPS as well. That is very important, okay? It really needs to understand what you're deploying in order for you to select which model you need. But you do have, so we have this one here, 61, and if I remember, there is another one. So let's select this one here, which is one core, 3.5 gig of RAM. And now it's asking me about the storage. It say, hey, do you want to have Microsoft to manage the storage for you? Like, for example, if the in case of a failure of how you need me to manage this for you. Yeah. So if there is a failure to Azure, it will automatically manage this for you. You can say yes or no. It's up to you. So I want to say no. So then it comes to IP. Because I selected a particular resource group and my resource group already have a network configured, so it will capture this from my resource group. But if you say, no, I don't want this subnet, I want another one, you just click here and you can provide another one. Same for public IP and so on. So I don't want any high availability on this. I want monitoring and okay. It will now show the summary of what have been selected. As you click on OK, then machine will be created. Okay, so now we will see the machine being created here. So in a few minutes. So how can I actually connect now to this one? The other one, when we were running on Hyper-V, I just show you that you can just double click, you have access to it. So how do we connect to Linux normally? SSH, right? Telnet, SSH, pretty much SSH. So if you do this with Hyper-V, you need to open the SSH. With here, SSH is already configured. So what I need to do, for example, from this VM here, so when I click here, it will show me what is the public IP for this VM. So this is the public IP for this VM, 40.127.86.142. So what I need to do, I need to go to a SSH software. In this case, I have Bitwise here. Actually, I was already connected, so let me just log in again. So this. Open, and I just connected to the machine running, and it's running on Azure.
That's assuming you're having a externally exposed.
So
internally, you don't want to expose it to external.
It's actually a good question. So there are other ways to connect to your VM. So you can have, for example, a VPN site to site from your company or from your computer to Azure. Yeah. Or it depends on the size of your company. If you have an express route, which is a MPLS connection between your company, it's a dedicated connection between your company and Azure. So in this way, what you need to do, you need to connect with the private IP of this VM. One thing very important, if I shut down this VM and I turn on again, you're probably going to get another public IP. So you need to fix the IP if you need to. We have free five, but more than this you pay. So you need to be cautious with that. So you need to understand, like yesterday, I shut down my VM. This morning I was running some tests and was like, why I can't connect? And I was like, oh, of course, I shut down the VM yesterday. When I started today, I got another IP, right? That is a way to circumvent this. For example, my recommendation, if you don't need to have a fixed IP, you can work with DNS, right? You can just create a DNS name for this machine. So it doesn't matter the public IP, you're always going to connect. Of course, it really depends on what you're running. For example, if you decide to deploy SQL on Linux, your application, if it's rely on IP instead of name, you need to fix the IP. So it really depends on what you're running. So let's go back here and I'll come back to this one. So that is, right? So by using System Center OMS, this is traditional. We have physical, we can have Windows, Linux, and a virtual environment like Hyper-V. We have Windows, same thing, private cloud, or public cloud running Azure. Azure runs on top of Hyper-V. So this is Azure as an open cloud. This is to show what is actually out there, right? So we have Oracle, FreeBSD, Docker, Hedgehog, SUSE, Hadoop, Cloudera, MySQL, Mongo, PHP, and many others. Yesterday I was showing how to monitor Squiggy, so you can monitor and run whatever workloads out there. You just need to understand what you're running so you can actually get information. So, but let's assume that everything I've done here, you said, no, my company has a template already. So we do have our Linux image, and we want to use that Linux image. I don't want to go to the marketplace as you just went there and you select the image and you install. You can do this. You can actually upload your own VM or your own template into Azure and use that one as your VM. One thing that I see many, many deployments happening now is the use of Docker to actually host workloads. So if you never played with Docker and you into Linux, I recommend you to understand how Docker works because it's pretty easy. I saw a demo on deploying SQL Server on Docker. It took less than 2 minutes to install SQL Server on Docker. It's absolutely amazing. It's just like really great. It was that quick. And this is for the time to download the package and get it running. So, so in terms of support and how Microsoft endorses, so we have the standard image. So you can contact your Linux vendor and ask them for support. We have the premium images like we have with SUSE and Hedgehog. And with Hedgehog is like if you have if you run into issues with Hedgehog, you can call both Microsoft or Hedgehog. They will both handle this. If there is an issue with Hedgehog and you call Microsoft, they have engineering, they work behind it since they know how this and it works really well. So for you as a customer, it doesn't matter which one you call. From scripting, that's exactly what I was showing here. You can script almost everything nowadays. It's interesting to see how PowerShell adoption and utilization has been growing across all platforms. I see PowerShell even managing AWS. I saw some scripts and that's amazing. Who here does like play with PowerShell? Yeah, it's incredible how that's growing more and more. And I understand this. If we think that for Microsoft to launch something, you need to work on the product. You also need to work on the UI. So different teams, because they need to create the UI for that code that someone wrote. But if we rely on PowerShell, I don't need to wait for someone to actually finish that UI. I can release the product quick. Some features, for example, in Hyper-V, it's easy and only available through PowerShell. You don't have that exposed in the UI. And this is with many products. And I didn't understand this until I got it. I said, yeah, it makes sense. By the time you get someone to write a UI or to develop, and everyone on the team or marketing or whatever who works out this needs to agree on the UI, we lost a lot of time. You have the code. You know how to do this. That's, plus, automation, Power BI allows a lot of automation. Just so I just create a VM here on my local without actually going to the next and providing network configuration or anything. I just put every single information on a script and I deploy to this. If I need to deploy to another host or I need to deploy 20, I just, you know, change. I don't need to go again, spend 30 minutes or 20 minutes going through the next. So let's just go and wrap up this one. just go back here. See, my machine is here now with the one that I created with Red Hat, and it's just starting and will ask me, okay, what's your logon, provide the password, and that's it. You can download, if you want to play with Red Hat, there is a Fedora, which is the free version, but you also can play with Red Hat Enterprise. Just go to the redhat.com and you can download the free subscription. You get it for 30 days. You can play with Red Hat. See, just there. We need to provide the logon. In my case, because this is local, it didn't ask me for this. Pretty easy, done. I now have, just as an example, on this computer here, just a physical machine. In my notebook, I have like 4 Linux VMs running. That easy. And you can actually create a network between them. I will just show here what I mean by this. So can you see here on the right side, we have Virtual Switch Manager. When you install the Hyper-V, you actually need to select how you're gonna play with the network. You have 3 options. The first one is external. External means that your virtual machine will connect with the external network, with the public key. You will get a IP that will be able to reach a website, like Microsoft.com, Bing, whatever website, or it will reach the external network. But you don't want this. You want it, for example, to be internal, like I did. Sorry. So what internal does? Internal means that the virtual machine will be able to connect with other virtual machines and also with the physical host. So why would you do this? Could be, for example, that you have you want to manage from the host, the virtual machines, or you have a DNS server running on your physical machine and you want those machines to come. But let's say no, you're creating your own test environment and you don't want to have anything to do external. You don't want connectivity external of this. You can create what we call private. As you select private, any virtual machine that is on this switch, for example, let's create a private one here. Whatever name, private network. So when I do this, any virtual machine that I come here and select, hey, settings. I told you that you are on the internal. No, now you are going to be on the private network. So every VM that is on the private network will only connect with each other. There will be no connectivity between the virtual machine and the host. So you can, for example, have a DHCP server running on a private network, and that would never interfere with your own network. So that's pretty good when you're actually developing something or want to play or create a duplicate your environment. And say, oh, I have a domain controller, I have Samba running on Linux, I have some workloads, I just want to replicate that environment in my own machine. You can do this. Just remember, create a private network because there'll be no communications between the VMs and the host and as well outside. So it will be a contained network. So that's pretty much how I do my demos. I do create them on a private network. All the VMs, one can ping each other, one can reach each other. You can have a website running Apache on this side, and I can have the client, like a Linux desktop, just connecting to my Apache. Then I have another one running MySQL or MongoDB, and then you can actually reach each other. There'll be no nothing outside. So the only down of this is something important is like, how are you going to update the VMs since there is no external connectivity? So what I do, I add a second NIC to the VMs, and on the second NIC I select as external, and it's always disabled. I only enable every month to run apt-get or yum update, then I disable. So you just come here and then say, you know what, I have my network card here. Let's keep this on there now. You just need to add another one. So of course I need to stop the VM. No, it's just it hasn't. Oh, come on. Let's go again. Then I add. Then you select. If I had a external one, I would be adding external one. And come on. Okay. So now I have this machine, for example, with internal and private networking. It would be internal or private and external, so I have connectivity to update my VM. You can do this. You can also have, for example, a machine running FreeBSD and have a firewall or a proxy like I had with Squid. And having that machine being your proxy to go outside, so the only VM that would be going to outside would be this proxy or firewall. So you still have your private. So that particular VM would have private and another NIC with external. So all VMs will be hitting that machine. It's pretty much what we do in our enterprise environment. We have our physical switch, and we have the proxy running Squid or whatever proxy you guys have. It's exactly the same thing. The difference is all virtual. Okay, so we do have about 10 minutes. I hope you guys have some questions or anything that I can help. Let me go. By the way, I don't know if you know, we actually have a Microsoft certification on Linux. It's MCSA Linux on Azure. So if you have the Microsoft skills and the Linux skills, it's all together. I have more information on this one here. Let me grab here. If you're interested in taking this certification, it's pretty much taking the Azure exam, 533, and then taking the Linux Foundation certificate. So if you already certified in Linux Foundation, it's pretty much taking the Azure. And if you have both, it's just saying, hey, I do have already. It's just combining Tally, then you become a Microsoft Azure Linux certified, which is kind of nice. Okay, is there any questions? No? So then thank you, and I hope I was able to help you. It's really very easy to deploy Linux on Microsoft. I hope you can play with it. Go to Azure if you don't have an Azure subscription. It's free for 30 days. On your machine, running Windows 8, Windows 10, program some features, enable Hyper-V. It's really simple. You probably need a machine with 4 GB of RAM. Linux is very, very, unless you want to install the desktop version of Linux, which, you know, to need a little bit of memory, but Linux can run very easy on 500 giga, 1 giga. So it depends on the number of VMs that you can run. You definitely can play. If you have 4 GB of RAM, definitely you can play. My machine has 8 GB of RAM, I do run from time to time about 6 to 7 VMs, and I play with that. So yeah, I do recommend you to go and play with it. Having another hardware just to play with Linux doesn't make any sense. Plus, remember to go and sign in for OMS as well. So you install, you download the agent from OMS, and then you can monitor how Linux is playing as well. So you understand, hey, this is how Linux is working with for me. So you have the whole set. You have the VM running on Hyper-V or Azure, and you're also monitoring. You can show, hey, show me what's going on with my updates. Show me what updates I need, or show me what's going on with memory, CPU, disk. Don't need any other software. It's cloud-based. Okay? So thank you for coming. And please do the evaluations. And thanks.